Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who haven't scored since 1958. Chris and Case.
Hey, hi-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 329. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris. And with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How you doing, brother?
Welcome. It's been a minute.
Yeah. Welcome me. Welcome you, my friend.
Yeah.
Got a lot to talk about today.
No, welcome you.
Okay, Chip, or you, Dale. Today's show, we're going to talk about a couple of different things here. First, there's a lot of offers out there for Stafford. We're going to talk about what was there. There's some stuff going on with Wentz in the marketplace. See what the values kind of smell like and look like out there. What does a draft look like for the Lions? Is there a trade-down scenario on the table? That's one of the things we're looking at. A couple other things. Lions have a new wide receiver coach. Makes an impact in a place that most people aren't even thinking of, and a lot more. We got a great show lined up. Case, are you ready to go, my man?
I am readier than I've been in a few weeks.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right. Let's get right into it, because it's time. First thing I want to talk about this week on the show is some of the other teams' offers for Matthew Stafford. There's a lot of gold and treasure on the table. Some had a little more than others for us, and we want to talk about it. I think first things first, let's set off. What did we receive for Matthew Stafford, who said he wanted to go, by the way? First and foremost, Jared Goff. We got Jared Goff. We've got an NFL caliber starting quarterback who has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, a little ticked off at where he was, kind of wants to prove where he's at. This is a best case scenario for a Goff in Detroit kind of situation. I think it's probably the best case scenario for the Lions as far as what they would get for a quarterback for the 2021 season as well. I don't know that there's a better option out there. And we also got a first next year and a first the year after and a third this year, which is so clutch in a year when we only had five picks. So we got a lot of treasure for Jared Goff. And I want to compare that first case against what some of the other offers were. The first one I want to put against is Denver. Oh gosh, John Elway, such a wonderful man, willing to offer us Drew Lock and the number 9 pick. I mean, we could do so much with that comparatively.
Yeah. That's, well, Drew Lock doesn't come with the same contract size that Jared Goff does. So if you wanted to take Drew Lock on, you'd be looking at probably bringing him on more as a backup or, you know, competition for a rookie kind of situation. So if what they were trying to do is trade up and take a rookie quarterback this year, or just take one at number 7 or number 9 where they sat, then I mean that makes sense. And anybody who follows draft stuff knows that the value chart value of picks mm-hmm. is higher this year than it is in future picks, and that makes sense in some ways and for some teams. Most teams are on a limited time schedule, right? Mm-hmm. Most teams have a window. Yeah. Most coaches and GMs have a window. And I think that might be the more significant part. You know, not every staff is secure in their job. And so if you get a first round pick this year, especially a higher first round pick this year, and you're on a limited time scale, that's important to a lot of teams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We are not in that situation.
We're on the other end of that spectrum. Yeah. And one of the things I talked about it, and I highly recommend you guys check out the little blog post I put together about the cap hit of Goff, because I think it really clarifies sure. the whole idea of the salary cap as a social construct. Not only is it not a big, is it this cap hit minimal and not a big deal. Dead cap is, you know, there's money there that is money that's suddenly available next year. It's just money you can't spend this year. And right. if you're a team that's trying to make that final push, you don't want dead cap. That's literally not where we're at right now at all by any stretch of the imagination. So to be able to kind of take on the contract of Goff. And again, I mean, there's not really another quarterback that you're going to find in the NFL in 2021 that's going to be better than him. It's just not going to happen. So it winds up being good. You're not going to get a Matthew Stafford quality quarterback. You're just not going to.
Year. You'd have to give up a whole lot to the Texans, who don't even want to trade away Deshaun Watson to even sniff something like that. The Eagles also want way too much for Carson Wentz. I'll be very surprised if they get what they want. Although, I mean, stranger things have happened. Teams get desperate and do dumb things, obviously. So,
yeah, I'll talk about Washington a little bit later here and just that. But the idea that the other part of Deshaun Watson's thing is he can veto that idea of the trade. Right. So it's not only that the Texans and the Lions and maybe a third party have to come to an agreement. You need Deshaun to sign off on that agreement as well. And I'll be honest, though, in the current situation.
I think, to be perfectly honest, as far as Deshaun Watson is concerned, I think he'd be willing to go anywhere other than Texas. But that's a whole other story.
I don't know. So. I don't know about that. I think he wants
out desperately. He's even said that he's willing to sit out this year.
Yeah. Yeah, but that cost him some money. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. So what other offers were on the table besides the absurdity, the insult that was sent from Denver?
Well, and I have a list here, and it's a list that I just found, you know, posted somewhere. How accurate these things are is all based on how willing this, that, and the other person was to tell the truth to a reporter. So it's questionable whether or not these are accurate, but they all seem reasonable.
Let's just really quick. I want to like talk about the veracity of the reporting. Sometimes it's out there. Everyone just remember back to the cake. The Salah right. cake. That's all you right. have to do. Okay, go ahead.
The rumor was that the Panthers offered the number 8th pick overall, plus a late round choice, plus Teddy Bridgewater. That's not dissimilar from the Denver offer at all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's on the same, you know, a much lesser QB. If you've been watching, you know, Teddy Bridgewater was a guy who looked like he had some potential mm-hmm. back when he was with Minnesota. I mean, he never really realized that potential. And I think Minnesota fans overhyped him by a fair amount. And I know a few like decently informed Vikings fans who really, really thought he was great. But I also think that they led themselves to believe that by looking too closely at very specific things and not broadly enough at the whole package.
They were three gummies in on the double.
What did he? He made the Pro Bowl over Stafford that one year, and he had 14 TDs and 9 interceptions. I mean, it's just kind of he's never going to be a volume passer. He's a solid backup type player, mm-hmm. I think, and his future in the NFL is as a backup. Mm-hmm. So there really wasn't that much difference between that pick or that trade offer and the Denver trade offer. Washington offered number 19 and a third rounder. No, thank you. I don't know if they were through. I don't know if they were offering any players in that trade or not, but it would take quite a impressive player who's not a QB that they have on their team and it feels at the moment to make that happen.
It feels like they were relying heavily on the lack of picks that the Lions have this year, being an influencer on Brad Holmes as GM, saying,
right.
Oh my God, I need people. I'll do anything. Right. And I think that's right. they were making a mistake on that one. Cause Holmes seems a lot more wily, especially after this deal. He seems a lot more wily than people sure. might've been giving him credit for.
We don't know exactly what the Colts offered, but they did not offer the number 21 overall pick. They offered some other options, possibly future first rounders. We don't know, but it certainly didn't rise to the level anywhere close to the Rams from anything that I've seen anywhere. If anybody finds out that's different, story and that we really should have gone after that trade, you know, let us know. Mm-hmm. But from nothing I've heard, did that even approach, you know, anywhere near what we got. The 49ers never made an official offer. It's questionable whether or not there were rumors about them offering Garoppolo and some picks. Again, you're finding yourself again in a very similar place as the Panthers and everyone else Panthers and
Bob Quinn
Denver.
Bob Quinn isn't here to get suckered on another Patriots player.
Right. Who knows what the Patriots may have offered, but obviously that was off the table. Anything that the Patriots offered, the Lions were just trying to use as bait for getting other people to go higher. So
that was interesting hearing that Stafford clearly stated he'd go anywhere but New England. I mean, that says a lot about the relationship with the former coaching staff.
It does, although I'm not sure that's the only reason he said that. Would you, in your career, want to go to a place like the Patriots where maybe you get a little bit more, maybe your success rate is a little bit higher, but it's miserable to work there because nobody has any fun in New England? And he's near the end of his career. So yeah. Like, imagine you're 10 years out, 5 years out from retirement at your, whatever you're doing.
Imagine being 2 years out from your retirement. And then about how much smarter Holmes looks after this.
I just look at it like that. I do think I wouldn't say the Patricia, aspect has no bearing whatsoever, but I also just think in general, a quarterback who has options of where to go and places nearing the end of his career, he's beaten himself up for a decade plus already. Would you really want to go play in a system that's just not a fun place to be? Yeah. By all accounts, from former players, I'm not trying to take away the success the Patriots have had or anything like that.
If I thought I could win there, I would. I just don't think that's the case actually anymore,
right?
With the Patriots, and that's right. The problem. So that's that. Any other offers on the table there?
The Jets checked in apparently, but didn't really. We don't know whether or not they offered anything. There may have been other teams offered stuff too, and we just don't know about them. Those are the things that are rumored to have been offered. And if those are all the things that are rumored to have been offered, it's very hard to argue that we didn't get the best deal available.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, just look, I think this Goff thing is interesting. I really do. This we have two. There's two pieces to it. Number one is options, and you've heard us talk about the linebacker. Darn it, own you. The options with Goff. If he doesn't work out this year, if he doesn't fly through for us and come through and become the quarterback or show that spark of being the quarterback for the team, we've got two first round picks next year. That really allows us the flexibility to move up and get the guy who is the guy next year. There's no getting T-Law. There's no getting Trevor Lawrence this year. The expense would be outrageous. The expense for Deshaun Watson, I think, is going to be outrageous too, because that's the only way that they're going to part with him. I think that's going to end up in tears down in Houston and be just an absolute mess. So we'll see what happens with that one. I don't see a better scenario right now. And the options of having Goff available to show himself as we rebuild the multiple pieces on this team where there are gaps, it's fine. And Jared Goff is a good enough quarterback that people aren't going to shy away. You're not going to lose out in free agency on players because you have Jared Goff as a quarterback.
We didn't have free agency on the docket today, and I don't want to go too deeply into it, but it will be interesting to me what they do. I do expect some cuts right now that will probably, I mean, every other team in the league is going to make cuts too. So it's hard to see. It's hard to know now how things will shake out in terms of cap space when we actually hit free agency. But we're a little below average at the moment, largely thanks to the trade. But What I would like to see them do is really only pay big money on anyone they're willing to give a long-term contract to. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see any major contracts on 1 or 2 year deals right now.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing's going to happen this year. 2022 is probably going to be a year of approaching.
That's where we're going to know.
Being competitive.
That's where we're going to start to know if this is
really working. But if they need to look at guys they'd be willing to give 4 or 5 year contracts to. Mm-hmm. So who exactly that is, we'll have to get back into that conversation, you know, as we progress over the next few weeks here. But
we've got a month and a half basically to do that. So we got some time. Really quick, I want to hit Gene asks if we think the Rams would take those two future first round picks back for Aaron Donald. No, they would not trade Aaron Donald package. That was
I was going to say, you heard that's where the Lions started with their trade offer was we'll take Aaron Donald.
And that was a no go. So,
which I mean, that's, you know, that's negotiation 101. If you want something, ask for it. You might not get it, but at least that's a good like starting position for you. So.
Yeah, for sure. So, we got some good stuff here. Wide receiver, I think, is an absolute need for us.
Absolutely.
Particularly in the whole free agency sweepstakes. There's some good guys. I was really loving Chris Godwin. I tell you, especially being down here in the Bucks area, it looks like they're going to hold this team together. Everybody, I mean, Mike Evans is saying he would take less money to hold the team together. Here it is, you know, the day after the Super Bowl, he said that. It's like, wow, man. And all of them, Gronk, he's like, yeah, I'm back. Brady's like, yeah, I'm back. Like, everybody is willing to come back. I don't know what it's going to take. I think they're going to keep Godwin, and I really wish that wasn't the case. Allen Robinson's the other guy we talk about, but I think it's absolutely, if you think about where we are, and we'll talk about Marvin Jones in a few, but he's probably not going to be back. I don't think Galladay is going to be back. You start looking at, you know, Amendola probably isn't going to be back. You start looking, you're like, okay, we got Cephas.
Mm-hmm. We like Cephas.
Yeah, but you need more than one wide receiver and a wide receiver three at that. Right. Yeah, and so it's going to take the draft and free agency to really, really work on this team and making and giving Goff targets. If you don't have wide receivers there, if you don't have talent there, you can't even judge Goff and his ability. Mm-hmm. You can't even determine the value of what you got. So he needs weapons, and we're gonna have to do some work there to get those. So we'll talk about that. Month and a half to go.
I like Corey Davis. That might be my guy that I'd really like to see assigned to a 4 or 5 year contract.
Yeah, for sure. There you go. All right. Speaking of the Bucks, we got to talk about the big NFL news there. The Bucks win the Super Bowl over the Kansas City Chiefs. I got to admit, I was surprised by that outcome. My money was on the Chiefs to win that game. And, I'm a Tom Brady fanboy. You know, just started way back in his time in Michigan. I think he's just a really, you know, all the things. But Mahomes, man. He was a one-man band out there. He was flipping amazing.
There were some incredible throws, some absolutely incredible, like being whipped to the ground and managing, and the guy just drops it.
Yeah,
man, I did feel bad for him.
Yeah,
it's not often that I feel bad for a quarterback that isn't my quarterback, but I did feel bad for him that day. So.
He was out there working so hard. That turf toe that was going to need surgery is now going to need to be amputated.
Yeah, seriously.
he was going to town. And just incredible. Just incredible. So there's a lot to be said. That is not the last chapter of his book. Mahomes is going to be a lot of fun for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Good news for the Chiefs or for the Bucks. It was fun watching that around town. It was pretty exciting and, you know, to see that locally happen. And I mean, now they're calling it Champa Bay and they're talking about the Rowdies. The rugby team is one of the champion teams, right? It's like, whatever. Okay. But good time seeing all that. It was fun. And it was neat seeing them put together a team kind of like it felt a little bit like, you know, a basketball team getting a star, a couple other supporting cast members, and boom, you just own the league. So it was good. Good stuff. I do have a interesting pair of things that were associated with that. Number one, the last time Mahomes didn't throw a touchdown in a game was against the Lions in 2019. So Tampa can thank the Lions for writing the script for how to stop that team.
We've been doing it all like over and over and over again. What did we do? We did that against the Rams. We did that against the Patriots, wrote the script for others to follow. And
well, hopefully we have a script for Arizona because we are yet again playing them next year. Jeez.
Yeah,
I'm so sick of them. Okay, and then also former Lion Ndamukong Suh got his ring finally, and I'm happy for that. It feels good to see him go out there and find that ring finally, get that success. I saw some people saying, "Boy, it would be
nice to have a player like Suh."
It would be nice to have Suh here, yeah, a player like Suh. But man, what did they sign him for in Miami? Was it 20 some million?
I'm real quiet too. My levels all right?
We're working on it. It was like 21 million when they signed him?
Yeah, I don't remember, but it was outrageous.
Yeah, yeah. There was no way.
The highest paid defensive player in the league at that moment in time, I believe.
And at the same moment in time, we had the highest paid wide receiver in the league, right? So
right.
That would have been silly. And then Stafford too. We got burned. Yep. The series of drafts when we were bad there at the end, when before they changed the rookie contracts. Ugh, that one killed me.
Yeah, we got. That wasn't fun. That was unlucky. That is how when I talk about how important luck is in the NFL or in any sport, that was bad luck. The timing of that couldn't possibly have been worse. We couldn't possibly have been. As bad as we were in that stretch, like not that like the Lions haven't been through other stretches of being bad or anything like that. I wouldn't suggest that, but to be that bad at that moment in time was the worst possible time to have, you know, all those like number one, number two, number three overall picks.
Yeah. 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 All right, so Super Bowl was fun. The commercials were uninspiring mostly, I thought. It was kind of like...
There were a few, okay.
There was a golden era of Super Bowl commercials.
It's this past.
Is not that. All right, let's see. Gonna hit this. Breaking news. DraftKings is live in Michigan with mobile sports betting. Yes, that DraftKings has finished crossing their T's, dotting their I's, meaning you can place a bet right now from anywhere in Michigan for a limited time. DraftKings Sportsbook app is offering all players a chance to double their money if the Pistons hit a three. Yes, you heard that right. All it takes for you to double your money is to opt into the promotion and place your wager, then sit back and watch the threes rain down. It isn't some offshore operation like those other gambling sites. DraftKings is a legitimate sportsbook based right here in the U.S., so you can be confident that your funds are secure. And with the DraftKings Sportsbook app, you can bet from whenever, wherever. You don't even have to leave your house. So there you go, Case. I've got it worked out. My old man, my dad, is working the DraftKings app. MMA is my play of choice. Got 258 coming up this weekend. I'm excited about that now with no football going on. But the live in-game betting, man, that's got me going. That's where the fun's at. I'm telling you, you gotta just get this going on.
I took this year off of gambling on sports, but that doesn't mean that's permanent. I'll be back with a vengeance. I'll be getting myself acquainted.
We gotta get you in Michigan. You can use the DraftKings app.
Yeah.
All right. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code DLP when you sign up. For a limited time, all users can double their money if the Pistons hit a three-pointer. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is doubling your money if the Pistons hit just one three-pointer. Don't forget, enter the code DLP only on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services Gambling Disorder Helpline at 800-270-7117. 21 and over, Michigan only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. All right. I'm working on my legalese there. I did pretty good, huh?
There you go.
All right. We're going to hit super chat from Superman Loretto Martin. How you doing, Loretto? Thank you for joining us again. Defense and unathletic pocket quarterbacks still win Super Bowls. Another year, the evolution of the game is not happening.
It's not. I mean, yes and no. I agree with that. But, I mean, if you went back and fixed the Chiefs' offensive line before the game, and they weren't missing those two, their two starting tackles, we would have seen a very different game, I think, you know. Obviously, that you could say that about almost any game where you can look back at this thing or that thing or whatever. But I don't disagree that pocket quarterbacks still have value. Absolutely not. And I'm not going to try to sit here and argue that defense doesn't have value either, because it absolutely does. I mean, I think, you know, the Chiefs proved last year that the evolution of the game obviously has come to the NFL and has made an impact. They just weren't able to quite get over the hump of the situation that they found themselves in this time around. So,
yeah, I think what you found or what you have with the Bucks this year is unique in that the weapons that they had on offense, and you have a quarterback who's involved in play calling in the playbook, he's just such a professional and come so far in the league and so much above so many others. That his mobility isn't the big issue. That defensive line was just a monstrosity. And he had a missing pair of tackles in Kansas City that really caused a situation that was just insurmountable for the team. It's interesting that they won, Loretto, but I just don't think that that's... I think the NFL has evolved. It's just they snuck one in. I think what makes the whole difference in the Super Bowl, to be honest? I think if the stupid Packers had drafted a wide receiver at number one, like everyone thought they would have, they would have been sitting there and had a chance to beat those Chiefs. All right.
For sure.
Based on the rookie wage cap, does that make Quinn worse than Millen?
Not actually sure what he's asking for sure.
Yeah. So we were hamstrung by the rookie wage situation.
Mostly
with
through
Millen.
Mayhew.
I
mean, Mayhew was the one who suffered the most from the rookie wage cap,
right,
not Quinn.
Right. But I still say Quinn's probably worse than Millen.
I 100% would not agree with that, but that's all right.
We can talk about that. It's a long off season. We'll put that out there. And
I mean, Matt Millen is truly all time worst GM ever category.
I mean,
I don't know that Quinn
graded every single position he touched.
Yeah, but I mean that's a lot of GMs. Position. That doesn't. Yeah, but I mean,
he never did it right. I mean, God. we'll do that. We'll put together. We'll put together a true debate where we do counterpoint. We'll see where we come up with on that.
Sure.
That'll be fun. That's a good question, JCN. Thanks for that. That'll be good for the future. All right, moving on. Want to get to this guy. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name's Calvin Johnson from Georgia Tech. Calvin Johnson, headed to the NFL Hall of Fame. First ballot. I didn't expect that.
I really didn't.
And there's a
lot. We've talked about it before.
A lot of folks giving credit to Dave Burkett for his impassioned speech and convincing argument to get Calvin taken on that first ballot. I feel great for him. I really, really do. I loved Calvin as a player. The stuff that's gone on afterwards has been frustrating for me. I hate drama after a player's gone. I really do. I just do. I just think it's silly, and it's frustrating. So we've talked about it, but it seems like steps are being taken, Case, to maybe reach out and embrace and maybe slip each other a little tongue and make it all better again.
And Johnson just even saying that it might get better. You know, that the relationship might get better. When he said that's, you know, I feel like that's, nobody says that unless it's actually headed that direction. You know what I mean? I still personally think that he overreacted to something that the team was just trying to do to get the team to be better, more competitive. But that's my personal opinion. And I know that the further away we get from that, the less that's going to be the popular opinion. While it was always split, I think that's just me keeping that opinion public is probably a bad idea, just because I think that's going to get more and more
that's going to age a little
negative over time. But like you said, we've talked about it before. I did not expect him to go first ballot. It's not because he was the best player at his position over a period of, what, 3-4 years.
Yeah.
I just didn't think that span was long enough. And I won't blame him at all for our lack of postseason success. One wide receiver is not going to take you through the playoffs. It's not going to take you to the Super Bowl, even if they're the best player that one of the best players that that position has ever seen. That's just not a position that can carry a team all the way to a Super Bowl. So I didn't like the complaints about him. You know, I'm glad that that didn't get held against him, but I thought that the longevity of his career, or the lack thereof, mm-hmm. especially of his peak, which was like, it was probably only what, 3-4 years that we really truly saw peak Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
I just didn't think it was long enough. And so I am a little bit surprised. I'm happy for him. You know, one of my favorite players. So yeah. I'm very happy for him. Obviously, I got the jersey up behind me. But
yeah. No, it's good stuff. He was absolutely one of the best. But, you know, part of it, as you said, is that longevity, being best for a long time. So the first ballot thing is a little bit of a surprise to me. I think the rift between the team and him, I mean, there's a couple things at play, right? If you're Bob Quinn, and you come into a job and then, hey, surprise, you don't have your top wide receiver, that's going to be frustrating. And I think he took a, you know, that hard nose approach that kind of seems like it became the trademark for Quinn. And I think that was a significant shift to go that kind of direction for Johnson. And it was an experience that he didn't expect at all. And there's probably some words that maybe were a little more Patriot way, a little more New England style than Detroit style, mm-hmm. and that took Calvin by surprise as well. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that's sure. probably the underlying story there. Interesting, we get a new regime, and instead of our top, you know, the wide receiver going down, it's the quarterback. It's every time we change, top player decides to leave the team, but whatever. I think it's handled a lot better this time by everybody. I think everybody's learned, and I think maybe Calvin has seen that the team has learned and the organization has learned, and it's not a heartless bunch of idiots.
Well, I don't think he was ever going to make up with Bob Quinn. I don't think that was ever in the cards.
No, that wasn't going to happen. So we will see. We'll see how this goes. You know, the money thing, I don't know if the money is the biggest part of that. Calvin says it is, but I don't know that it is. Now there's a, you know, there's a time where you can work this out, and you can do things like he could be an assistant to the wide receivers coach, which we will talk about shortly. He could be some other role, and he's far enough removed from being a player now that hiring him as a coach to get him some of that money back maybe is probably a viable move. It's it can't be something that you use against the cap, because you can very quickly make the argument that, well, Dan Campbell played for the team too. Are we somehow slipping mm-hmm. him extra money by making right. him the head coach? No, that's not the case. So I think you've now got a good precedent, a good situation set where you could put something like that together where you come to terms and everybody's happy.
Just a real quick thought. I don't know that I think Calvin is a good fit as a coach. I mean, if they want to bring him in as an assistant, that's great.
Think about,
I'm just
Barry
not sure
Sanders
that he was ever
in.
Verbose enough to be good teacher.
Think about Barry Sanders being brought in and the role he's taking. He's not necessarily taking a coach. It's a little bit of PR,
right.
a little bit
right.
of, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Consulting. If they find a role like that for him, I'm all about it. I just,
consulting
there are a lot
is
of
always
fans,
the best
right.
role.
There are a lot of fans out there that want to see him be, you know, a wide receivers coach. And I just, first of all, how do you coach what he did? Like, what he did
first
was
be big and
uncoachable.
Super athletic.
Right.
What's wrong with you? Why are you only 5'11"?
Right. So I'm just not sure. And add on to that the fact that I just don't think he's a verbose guy. I don't think he, you know, likes to talk mm-hmm. that much. So
get some elevator cleats. No, I'll tell you. The guy, my punter, who has left Georgia Tech, by the way, he did this football season playing there, and he's decided to move on. But they did a series where Calvin zoomed in for the team and did a call, and he was actually evidently pretty inspirational, pretty inspiring.
Sure. That's
pretty
good.
Pretty
I didn't
vocal.
I wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, no. And so hearing, you know, from somebody who saw him in that role, it's something that I can imagine him possibly doing and taking up. But yeah, that whole kind of, you know, and then there's a role Billy Sims has. I don't know how many people, you know, you go to the games and you see Billy Sims is at 4 games a year at least, and then, you know, signing stuff, and then he's at the Taste of the Lions, and he's got his Billy Sims barbecue stuff there. He's definitely a member of the staff in that public relations team. There's definitely a role for that. So we'll see how that plays out. God, I'm just going to tell you guys, we're very soon going to get into a Billy Sims deserves a blue check mark. Why the hell he isn't verified on Twitter is absolutely insane to me. And we're going to want you guys help to help blue check mark Billy Sims, because he deserves that shit. It's an absolute affront for him not to be blue checked. Sorry. I mean, it's just ridiculous. He was amazing in Oklahoma. He was amazing
for the barbecue
Detroit.
Alone.
Yeah. Oh, God. Is that hot sauce, dude? I'm telling you what. Anyway, that being said, hey, make sure you hit that like button out there while we're doing this. You're watching this great content. You should hit that like button and subscribe. All right, from Calvin Johnson, let's move on to the Lions, DetroitLions.com. I got to tell you, their social media team has been killing it for ages, but they came out with a hype video that's just it's incredible. I tell you, it was great. There's a lot of hype, but there is a part of that video where Dan Campbell is with Sheila, Ford Hamp, and Rod Wood, and he's in the practice facility. And yeah. It's you can tell it's the first time his return. And he's like, it's just like I remember it, right? And then he's like super thankful to Sheila, and then, you know, professes how he's going to make him proud. It's kind of moving. It's a really a moving moment to see Dan, the passion this guy has, and that you know who you're dealing with, is really incredible. If you haven't seen it, go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Check out that hype video. It is the bomb. And it is, you know, we talk about what 2021 is going to be for this team. It's not going to be, I just don't see us as a playoff contender this year. I just want to tell everybody, I think we'll wind up with more wins than we did last year, which I think is a pretty good step when you've lost that quarterback to do that. But these
I
kinds
have thought
of things,
on that after you finish this thought.
Yeah, yeah. These kinds of things, these hype videos are going to be the feed that we have that help us get to the 2022 season, where we're really, really going to see what the effects of this front office and these changes are. We're gonna have a good sense by probably the middle of 2022 if this retool/rebuild is working and what it means for the team. And so far so good. So far so good. Go ahead, Keith.
No, I completely agree with everything. So because I'm just a little bit of a slut for it, I went and looked up am I allowed to say that? I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that anymore. Feel like I need to throw that in there every once in a while just to keep our fans interested. But
we got to earn that PG-13.
But power rankings, and they're the ones I've seen so far for the 2021 season. I mean, anybody doing a power ranking at this point in time all knows that it's, you know, that it absolutely will change in massive ways. Yeah. I mean, this is purely based on the things that have changed. And I've seen us in the bottom three in at least three of the more well-read ones. I'll put it that way. Not necessarily the more respectable ones, the more well-read ones. Yeah. And I don't agree with that. It's not that I think we're going to be a great team this year. I would be surprised if we're over 500, to be perfectly honest. That could change. My hype could go up if things go really well. If all of a sudden Goff is clicking with the wide receivers that we end up having, that we have no idea who that's going to be right now, that kind of stuff. So I'm not saying that like that can't change. But bottom three to me is a little bit of a surprise. And I think it's because Stafford left, and that's the only thing people see. But the counter to Stafford leaving is how much improvement we see on game day from the coaches, and how much better the players who we already have play under somebody they want to play for. And that's the challenge of the coaching staff. And I'm not saying it's a given. So I'm not necessarily blaming those people who are doing the power rankings for being pessimistic at the moment about the team. But I would be surprised if we don't start creeping up those rankings before the year starts.
I will say that I think, and I don't disagree with you at all, there's two key things to watch on the Lions this year as to what are the opportunities to improve. Number one is exactly what you said about the coaching staff and the level of elevation the team gets out of them. Let's be very, very clear. This team hated playing for the last regime.
Yeah.
They hated it.
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious at this point.
I hate to say this because I've made fun of others, but one source is in the building. There's a lot of people on this staff that think KG gave up. The guy that gave up on the team. Okay. Now, I don't know if it's a him thing or if it's a this staff and this situation absolutely stinks. Mm-hmm. You got a sense from Diggs, you got a sense from just about everybody when the announcement came out who did tweet about it that are related to the Lions in one way or another, that they did not like these coaches at all. And there's something to be said about somebody who has to play a game that is part passion as well as skill, how they perform in a situation like that. I'm just going to tell you straight up, that gap we're going to see, I think, it's the opportunity for sure. But that's where I think we can see a significant change in the level of play of this team. And then I'm going to say the other thing that's going to be the key piece that's going to help dictate a change in the level of play of this team. And that's the weapons at wide receiver that Jared Goff has. Absolutely. I think the defense is better than it was last year. I don't think it's a good defense. I think it's a better defense. I think we're going to get a lot of pieces on defense this year. And those pieces combined with the coaching staff that they have and an Aaron Glenn defense are going to make significant improvements over what we saw. Then, like I said, you know, the coaching staff, you start adding weapons for Goff, and all of a sudden this team could make a leap, an unexpected leap forward, right? Right now I'm at 5 or 6 games because I haven't seen anything of those things that I'm looking for. But I see this team being an 8-8 team with those kinds of improvements. It could be a 9-win team with those kinds of improvements in those places. I don't expect that yet. I'm just saying that our ceiling is in a position where we could probably get 9 wins out of this team this year if the right things continue to happen in this offseason, and we see this coaching staff really gel. We'll talk about the coaches a little bit here because we have a coaching announcement we're going to make later in the show.
Well, you remember how things went under Jim Schwartz until they went sour. I mean, right off the bat, we were outplaying our talent level.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because everybody bought in so hard and was so motivated on game day that guys who had no business playing as well as they were playing to their absolute maximum. That's a hard thing to sustain. It's a very hard thing to sustain. And eventually it wore down, you know, and turn negative.
Yep.
I hope that doesn't happen again, you know, with Dan Campbell. I don't think Dan Campbell has quite the, you know, temper. But I mean, if you get a whole team inspired to do something, they're going to play above their talent level. And I'm not saying that will happen this year. I'm just saying it's within the cards to happen if these guys really all of a sudden go from a place that they hated to be to a place they love to be.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. So there's opportunity here. There's opportunity for this team, and we'll see. Make sure that you go ahead and get your hype stuff going on and get your fill of Kool-Aid, because it's going to be an interesting year. The one thing I think that we're going to have this year that we haven't had in a long, long time in Detroit is fun football to watch. And that's one thing, even within the Schwartz area, to refer to what you were saying, that was fun to watch. Even when we lost, yeah. I mean, it still stung to lose, don't get me wrong, but it was
rules.
Fun.
It still was my favorite fun. Lions.
Yeah,
one
yeah,
of my favorite real. Lions moments. Real. Yeah.
Some real, real enjoyable stuff. So we've got that coming for us, and that in itself is going to be an improvement for the fan experience. Okay, I want to talk about now a guy, and I know he's near and dear to your heart. There's been a love affair since day one. There's been a lot of I told you so's out of it. His name, Marvin Jones. And free agency, there's talk that he'd be happy to go to L.A. I know there's a very personal connection between the Jones and the Staffords. I'm sorry, Marvin, there's already nothing but kinks out there. We knew about it far before Detroit was there, when I was living off that stuff when we lived out there. You're going to have to buy him out. You're not going to be able to open a new a new franchise if you're doing it. But a lot of talk about him to the Rams. When you see the team that kind of got put together in Tampa with Tom and the guys he pulled in, and Antonio Brown that nobody wanted, but Tom did. And, you know, there were some hard conversations with AB and Bruce Arians that had to happen. What do you think the chances are that staff can pull Jones back? I'll tell you, I think Jones is gone. I think what we have next year, again, I don't think we have cut Kenny Golladay. I think he's not going to be a good fit for Goff, and he wants way too much money. I think while we're in Amendola gone, I think what we're looking at is Cephas and a whole lot of holes. What do you think about Marvin Jones? Do you think they lure him in Detroit, or do you think he goes to LA? What do you think is in the cards for him?
I mean, I would like them to keep him around, but I'm also not sure it makes a lot of sense long term. Because by the time the Lions pass game is ready to roll fully again, because I think it's going to take a year or two before we are able to restock. I mean, he's already, you know, past his prime a little bit. I do love the guy. I absolutely love the guy. Everybody who listens to us knows that I love the guy. But I don't think it's hard for me to see him sticking around when, like you said, it's unlikely that anything is going to be familiar here to him. If you're ever going to leave a place, it's when nothing is familiar. The quarterback's different. The coaches, the quarterback coach is different. The offensive coach is different. Your fellow teammates are different. Cephas and Hockenson are basically the only two guys he probably spent a lot of time with who are still going to be here. So like, why, you know, familiarity, I think, is a factor in a lot of guys' decisions, especially guys who aren't, you know, the top, aren't like the elite level type players. But I don't think that, I think the lack of familiarity in the building means that he's truly a free agent, other than the fact that he would like to play with the quarterback that he's used to playing with. So I would not be in the least bit surprised if he went down to LA.
So we will see. We will see what happens. I know that causes you a little bit of pain because you did love him, and it's always hard to say goodbye.
Yeah. At least I was right about him.
Yeah.
I'll take that comfort. So
I'll tell you, when you are dealing with that pain or anxiety or insomnia, what a great product to take care of those things. What better product than CBD? Which you can get from CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. It is the finest you will find. And we're working with Diamond CBD. They make some really, really great stuff in these creams, of which I used last night. This stuff is awesome. I've gotten a number of folks. I'm getting my face out of there, so focus is right. And you'll see that this stuff is magic. A lot of people. This is the 1,000 milligram CBD cream. I've heard people who've had back problems and been on other narcotic type of prescriptions and didn't get the kind of relief that they did from that. Working out after workout, that stuff works awesome too. The regular CBD stuff, the gummies and the oils and all that, is great for the pain, anxiety, insomnia. If you want to take care of that, they are absolutely good, and you can do your daily work. You don't have to worry about it. You can go, you know, like my favorite is to say, drive a high-low, right? Drive a truck, whatever. You can operate heavy machinery, whatever you have to do. There's another line. It's called the chill line. Come on, Canon. There you go. This stuff is the bomb. This does all the other stuff, the pain, anxiety, and insomnia, but it also melts you into your couch a little bit. Gives you a nice little buzz. It's some really, really good stuff, and it's fully legal, and it won't trip a drug test for you. It's really, really amazing stuff. Head over to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. It'll kick you right over to their site immediately. You can get 55% off with the coupon code LIONS when you go there. If you use LIONS, you get 55% off. Also, this is hot off the presses. It came in 30 minutes ago. If you use XTRM65, which I would believe would be extreme, XTRM65, you'll get 65% off of the Delta 8 chill line that makes you melt into your couch. It is great stuff. Again, perfectly legal in all 50 states, will not trip a drug test, and helps you when you want that ultimate relaxation. That chill line is exactly what you go. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Pro Football Focus. They have a mock that has the Lions trading down, and talk about their scenario first. I've got another scenario for you that popped up today, and I'm stealing from the chat on it a little bit, but the Patreon chat. The PFF one doesn't really talk about the haul for the trade. All they do is a first rounder where Denver trades up to the Lions for 7, and the Lions go back to number 9 as a result, and then the Denver Broncos take Trey Lance. What do you think about that scenario? What else do you think they're giving up in that scenario?
Well, first of all, Trey Lance being an NDSU boy, I'm somewhat familiar with him. I think he'll go in the first round. But I also think a lot of the issues that we've seen with Carson Wentz after he looked really good, he got exposed a little bit, confidence issues when things weren't perfect around him, he stopped playing perfect. We might see some of that with Trey Lance. I'm not saying that for sure, but I wouldn't want us to be the team necessarily that bet on that. I know that was not going to win me any fans if there's other NDSU people listening. But true nonetheless.
He only played one game this year, right? And he had a little bit of a hard time in that game. He didn't show up like he wanted. And this is one of the reasons why I'm so high. One of the reasons I'm high on the Goff thing and not picking a quarterback with the COVID and the lack of scouting and the fact that we don't have our scouts in place for the Lions this year. I feel a lot better about taking a quarterback that you know what you got in a guy like Goff than rolling the dice on the franchise with a guy like Trey Lance. Because, yeah, the coach has a 6-year contract and Holmes has a 6-year contract, but you're year 3 of Trey Lance failing and you have to do another rebuild after everything that's happened thus far. You've got no one's going to have confidence in you. You're not going to get the free agents. This is your shot. This is it right now. You have these 3 years to build this team into something real. And boy, that's a real roll of the dice on Trey Lance, I think. I really absolutely do.
I agree. So they have us moving down to 9 then and taking Micah Parsons, linebacker. And it's not that I disagree with that wholly. It's just that I think their reasoning that Chris Spielman, being a former linebacker, is going to want a linebacker is specious. So,
yes, yeah, no, that's a great way to put it. I don't think he's that biased towards his position. I think he's a smarter, you know.
I won't be surprised if they go defense. I won't be surprised if they go offense. I think it'll be wide receiver, but I won't be. I mean, we have a lot of work to do on the defense. I don't think anybody is, you know, pretending that we don't. So if they go defense, it'll be because they think that the best player there, even if the rest of us think that a wide receiver is probably going to be the best player available.
Right. I don't think we go defense. I just don't, because they all feel like Parsons has some problems. I'm just telling you, he's got some problems, some character issues that they're really not. It's interesting how they've kind of held off on reporting them. I guarantee it's going to be a draft day thing where it all blows up, right? And they use it to sink him on that day. I just don't think that fits right, and I don't think that.
And I think that would make him on PFF's draft here. That would make him the first defensive player.
Yeah, I just don't see that.
The Lions are being taking a tight end at number 8.
Yeah, good for them. I just don't see the Lions making that kind of move early. And first, I think what we're going to see is a wide receiver in that first round. I really do. And because of the abject need and the quality of some of the guys there, I think Devontae Smith's a little bit small. I don't think he's the guy we go after, but I think we're going to pull a wide out there. And I think we're going to trade down. I don't know if it's Denver that's there. I saw another one that was really interesting, and this one we talked about a lot in the Patreon chat today. And this is the Most Intelligent Lions chat we refer to. Go to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast and donate as little as $1 a month, and you can take part in that. Washington offers 19 overall for our seventh. Okay. And they
take a big haul.
Yeah. 19th overall, 51st overall, 114th overall, and the first rounder for 2022. Now, that's the first round pick, second round pick, fourth round pick, and a first in 2022. Now, we did the value chart on that, right? And then they take Trey Lance. We did the value chart on this. And this was mocked out by the Draft Network, by the way. The value chart says, that's a little bit of a big play. Now, we know it's Washington and Snyder, right? So we know they've overpaid and made some dumb trades before. But by the same token, you've got a head coach there that may be able to, and Martin Mayhew, who's had an excellent, you know, partially at the Lions' expense and partially did well here. And then in San Fran, he's had an excellent education. I don't think that him and Rivera are going to be giving up overpaying at that level. So I think you probably don't get 51 and the first of next year. Shout out to Greg Warren for that one, as he was doing the math on this. But one or the other or some other kind of combination works. This becomes really, really interesting for the Lions to trade back to 19, because then defense, I think, is completely on the table. And then two more picks takes you up to, what is it, 8 picks then for the mm-hmm. in the draft this year. That's mm-hmm. exactly where you need to be.
Yeah.
As this team. I really like the idea of this trade, even if you don't get, if maybe you wind up at 7 picks this year, you wind up with a fourth. I'm good with that. I'm really good with that, because that helps you rebuild that defense, that helps you get all these the wide receiver pieces you need, and you know, everything kind of gets dictated by how you act in free agency. But boy, this lets you fill a whole lot of holes with young, cheap talent that will make a significant difference on this team. Let's face it. I mean, Risden loves drafting giant linebackers right now. But Jelani Tavai is absolutely replaceable, and you can probably do that in the fourth or fifth round. So
yeah, no argument.
All right. So I like that idea of that draft. That's pretty good. I wish PFF had kind of talked about the whole package and what they saw in that trade with Denver for Lance. And I don't have the value chart to look at. But I think the Lions, absolutely, they need weapons, and they need serious weapons for Jared Goff. He's seen it. What has his strength been? Hitting wide receivers on the run. He's got a good arm. He's got good accuracy, and he can hit these guys on the move. We don't have that in anybody that's on the roster. Even if we sign Galladay, right? He's just not.
We don't have a burner. Yeah. We just don't.
He's not gonna be the guy. So we'll have to look. We'll have to see what happens. So there's a lot to talk about there. Good stuff. All right. Where do you want to start in the draft, Case? Are you on Micah Parsons? Is that where you're at?
No, I'm not ready to really delve that deeply into it, but I think my ideal scenario is a significant trade down and the best wide receiver. And that is coming from somebody. We've got Steve-O in the chat who's talking about the not liking. If you're the real Steve-O, please let us know. You know, drafting wide receivers in the first round. And I would typically agree with you. It's just the way the talent level is this year. You chase what the, you know, where the talent is. And if a guy at wide receiver is so far above anyone on the defense, you go there. If they trade down enough, then I think it opens the door for, you know, taking anybody available who they think is the best player. But if you end up trading down to 9, or you end up trading down to somewhere between 10 and 15 or something like that, the chances are that you're going to get a day one starter, 4-year starter, 1,000-yard receiver right off the bat. So,
yeah, that's it's tempting, isn't it?
And that's what I'm concerned with is where we are in 2 years. Yeah. And a guy who's going to be around for at least 4 years and is going to be a capable guy for whoever we end up with a quarterback in a couple of years. That's really what I'm concerned about. Yeah. So
we hear about the offensive line. A lot of people talking about taking some of the offensive line. I feel like we're in really good shape there, actually.
Yeah.
I think Big V uninjured.
You need to draft guys there okay. for sure, but like not a bunch, not early.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, that's not where I'm at. And it's that combination of best player available. You get that BPA. And boy, if it's an offensive lineman, I think a lot of people are going to be frustrated. And I think the offensive line is the strength on this team right now. And there's so many other just gaping holes that need to be taken care of. It's just when we say small triangles about Devontae Smith, it's not about him being 6'1". It's about the size of his legs
limbs
to be snapped
like
in
me.
An NFL hit. Yeah, he's going to be an injury.
I'm not
in the
short.
NFL. He's going to be an injury problem. So anyway, there you go. So. Let's see. Let's go on to Lions merch. I don't know if you saw it. We've got the MCDC shirt, a pretty cool style MCDC shirt in the Lions store. And if anyone doesn't know about the story, there's a purported text, a group text that the went around with some of the players in the Rams and our man Goff. And this may be where a little division between Jared Goff and Sean McVay started in the text. He texted that he would pipe Sean's girlfriend. Now, I can't say that he has bad taste, but maybe his discretion would have been the better
right.
part of valor there, right?
Right?
We've got a pretty sweet Jared, well, Goff Plumbing, we'll call it. I'm just here to lay some pipe. Check it out, DetroitLionsPodcast.com/store. We got some really great t-shirts. I think you guys will love them. The MCDC one is good, and we got a couple other designs coming in here as this week goes on. So check it out, DetroitLionsPodcast.com/store. All right, new wide receivers coach in town. His name is Antoine Randall L. You may know him as the Bucks offensive assistant. Most people probably don't actually, but
no, a former Pittsburgh Steeler wide receiver.
Yes.
Maybe.
And a real interesting cat, right? The dude could move.
Yeah.
So
he could also throw the ball occasionally.
Yes. He played. Didn't he play quarterback in college in Indiana?
So.
Was he Indiana? I'm trying to remember.
He primarily was, as a quarterback in Indiana University.
Yep. He was an interesting cat to watch. A lot of fun. Brings an interesting mindset going, you know, understanding the quarterback position and then playing the wide receiver position on a professional football team, and then moving on as an offensive assistant, coming in to replace Robert Prince. Those are some big shoes to fill. But I want to talk about something that him coming in brings to this coaching staff that I haven't heard other than the Patreon chat.
If you're going the same direction I am with this.
The total number of NFL games played by our coaching staff, and that means played like as players in the game, is 1,081. 67 and a half full
just
seasons.
Just more than I've played.
Of experience. NFL in-game experience from our coaching staff. Tell me that they don't have a million times the credibility that Matt Patricia ever brought to this team.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you're not always going to find that the best coaches are former players or anything like that, but you're certainly going to get you're certainly going to find a player buy-in type situation more likely under a guy who knows exactly what it is you have to go through. So,
yeah,
I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't necessarily think it is. It's not necessarily a cheat code to winning or anything like that, but I certainly wouldn't call it a bad thing.
No, I'll say it's, as we talk about pendulum swings between one thing to another, as the team moves on and does different things, this is absolutely a pendulum swing for the team to get away from the lack of credibility that we had with the...
I'm amused by our troll in the YouTube chat, the Delusional Lions.
Oh, yeah. We should have kept Stafford is the best line.
Right. Matt Patricia, better than Dan Campbell. At least Matt had his own scheme.
Yeah, he did. It was a Ponzi scheme, but other than that.
You're not supposed to pay attention to trolls, but I think he's just trying to be funny. And so far, he's got me. So.
Yeah, good, good, good.
You've had enough of that shit.
There you go. Thanks, Dan. That alone will be worth 3 years, Dan Campbell. No, this is interesting. This kind of, you know, the pendulum swing from a lack of credibility from a staff, because that's who we had, right? And changing that into a team a group of coaches that have played before and have credibility as to winning the game, playing the game, playing on being on teams that have had Super Bowl wins, victories in Campbell. Not a Lions team, but he was in this, on the Saints when they got their big win. There's a lot here. There's a lot of credibility amongst this team, and I think against this coaching staff, and I think that's going to be extremely helpful. I think the players that remain in the locker room after the last regime are going to appreciate this, and it's one of the things we talked about when we talked about bringing in a coach. We wanted a coach that was young and relatable to the players, and we wanted experienced coordinators. We talked about that. And we seem that we have a lot of experience at the coordinator position. And Aaron Glenn is probably the one question as far as his level of experience as a coordinator, but I think he's going to be fine based on his experiences previously. And then we have a coach that can truly, and other coaches that can truly relate to these players and know what life is like for them. And I think they need that in that locker room right now. The other thing I've heard, and this is from inside the building, I hate saying that phrase. I got to come up with a different phrase. Cause someone had someone in the building that said that Quinn was safe. right. Like 2 days before he was fired. this is a coaching staff that's being built, that is built to grow people and promote them and let them go on to another team and expand and grow their career. This is a place for people to come and blossom as coaches. And I think that makes you a destination for coaches to come and to succeed and to do well. And then you start to attract the very best. The very best want to come to you because they want to go to that next level. They want to perform and be able to perform against a collaborative team or with a collaborative team and be able to show their stuff and be better. And then you have a group of people internally that you can promote into positions as coaches leave. And you have that constant succession planning going and growth of talent. That's huge. That's huge in an organization, and that pays many, many dividends down the way. So the mindset that they're bringing in here at this organization is huge, and we're hopefully going to be in a position where losing one guy doesn't melt this team down. Do you have anything to add to that, Case?
No. But I do have something to add about Antoine before we move on.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking
he's, of Eli. Okay, so I mean, first of all, we're getting him off of the Bucks after their Super Bowl run, and excuse me, it's hard to argue with that. But he's also coming from the team in the NFL that has produced the most consistent results from wide receivers, and not necessarily even high round pick wide receivers. Where the Steelers, the team he played for the majority of his career, have the best track record in the NFL of producing wide receiver talent out of thin air, seemingly sometimes. Mm-hmm. The only other team that I can think of that would even come close is the Packers. But the Steelers are the one that really has, they've just consistently been able to get the most out of guys. And if he learned any lessons from that, that's the kind of thing that you're hoping that he brings along. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. One last thing I want to talk about, the tweet of the week, and it just happens to belong to me. So there you go. You get to relish in it. Tweet of the week. The biggest favor.
Scratching your own nuts today.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Two hands. The biggest favor the media has done for Lions fans is put Carlos Manera's behind a paywall. Tell me that ain't right.
That's good.
Thank you.
That's good.
Thank you very much.
Not even tempted to look at it anymore.
Nope. It's helped keep things clean for us. So there you go. Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Lions Media. All right. With that, we're going to call it a show. Don't forget Amazon.com. Or Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Support us there. Also on Patreon, patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. As little as $1 a month will get you access to the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. And you need it this offseason because there's a lot of crazy stuff going to be. There's, because of the lack of visibility into players, there's a lot of nutty stuff going to go out there. Don't fall for it. Patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. Also follow us on Twitter. DET Lions Podcast, and give us a call on Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. And of course, come to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so we can pop it into your ears automatically. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pans, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, baby. We're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
You've had enough of that shit.